A careful study of the lives of the saints reveals that these men and women are not considered saints because they lived their lives flawlessly, but rather, regardless of their circumstances, they relied on their faith in God and trusted in Christ rather than the world. So, what can we learn from the life of a young woman who lived in the 13th century? And how can the life of a noble woman make a difference in my marriage or my family or in my grief? Back with me today to discuss the wisdom from the lives of the saints is Jesuit priest Father James Kubicki. Father James, thanks for coming back on the program and being our saint expert on the morning blend.
Well, thank you, Dina Marie. I love talking about the saints. They're such an inspiration, I think, to all of us, whether they lived in the 13th century or in the 20th century. And it makes us more aware of people today who are living and inspire us with their lives. We're all called to be saints ultimately, but that process of being made a saint happens right here and now.
That's right. And I think it is interesting, Father James, we can always learn something new, but even saints from many centuries ago, like this one on November 17th, I mean, a woman from nobility, several centuries ago she was born, we think, how could she have any impact on my life? But let's take a look at the life of Saint Elizabeth of Hungary, her feast day celebrated on the 17th of November, and just some of what she experienced growing up and in her own faith formation.
Well, she was born around the year 1207. In those days, it was very different. Women did not have the opportunity necessarily to choose their husband. Their husbands were chosen for her, for them. And so she was married at the young age of 14 to another royal person. Basically, it's a way of cementing the royalty and the pedigree of the royals. So she began life on, you could say, at a very early age, began running a household and being a wife. She had three children. And in the course of her life as a mother and a wife, that was her primary vocation. So she focused on that. But because she ran her household so well, she was able to take some of the money and some of the dowry that was used in arranging this marriage, and she was able to provide for the poor. And so whether it was people who were hungry coming to the door or people who were sick, she started hospitals. And in that way, she not only served the people in her own family, but the love that she experienced there in her family, as it were, spilled over into her secular life, her life as a queen and as someone that could have influence over those who were less fortunate.
Right. We're talking about Saint Elizabeth of Hungary, whose feast day is on the 17th of November. And many times, at least we see this in today's culture, Father James, we may have somebody who comes from great wealth, and that wealth dictates their life, and they follow the road of wealth rather than this is a gift of God. This is something that can be used to serve the Lord. But Saint Elizabeth really used what she was given as a way to give back to others.
Very much so. And I think part of it was the inspiration she found from Saint Francis of Assisi. He was a contemporary of hers. And shortly after she was married, 2 years after she was married, Franciscan friars arrived in her hometown. So, as a teenager, young married woman, she began to learn about the ideals of Saint Francis of Assisi, who is a saint who shows us that. What's important is not so much material wealth, but spiritual wealth. And the way we acquire spiritual wealth is by using our material wealth well, for a good purpose, that we keep it not just for ourselves and our own comfort, but that we look to those who are in need. So she learned that from Saint Francis of Assisi. The Franciscan order had just been founded, and there's some debate over when the Third Order Franciscans were founded. So around the same time, it's unusual that you have lay people being invited to follow the ideals of Saint Francis of Assisi in the world, not as monks or friars or poor clare sisters cloistered, but as lay people in the world. And that was the beginning of the secular Franciscans or the Third Order Franciscans. Today, to this day, we have Third Order Franciscans who follow the ideals of St. Francis of Assisi. St. Elizabeth of Hungary is their patron saint. And part of the beauty of this order is that in following those ideals and making a commitment to the order, lay people are given the privilege of being buried in the habit of the Franciscans. And certainly that was the case with St. Elizabeth of Hungary, to whom St. Francis of Assisi actually wrote a personal letter and message. So in a sense, they knew each other from a distance. But what's beautiful, again, is how St. Elizabeth lived these ideals in the world as a layperson.
It just fascinates me, Father James, when we start learning about the lives of the saints. Now, we talked about St. Albert and St. Thomas Aquinas. I mean, they were in the classroom together. And here's St. Francis, who comes into the town of this young royal woman, and she becomes, you know, a Franciscan. That holy people attract holy people. I mean, there's something that doesn't just end. I mean, we have the same connections with other men and women of faith, and we can be those St. Francis's of our own time, can't we?
That's right. And that's the real work of evangelization. It's not so much going door to door, leaving people with tracts of one kind or another about the Catholic faith. It's more what we do in the workplace and in our family life and on the golf course or tennis court, wherever we are. We're called to be examples of how our faith makes a difference in our lives. And it leads us to live a life of greater virtue and to have greater peace so that people are drawn to that and wonder, you know, you've been through tough times. They'll say, how is it that you got through those tough times? For example, in St. Elizabeth's case, her husband died when she was 20 years old. So they only had 6 years together of married life, and she was widowed at the age of 20. And I'm sure people, you know, brought her a lot of condolences and sympathy, but I'm sure she also witnessed to them that we live not only for this world, but for the next world, for heaven. This life is temporary. Heaven is eternal. And so we need to be thinking in those terms. And I think that's where another example of her life. Because shortly after she died, she was recognized as a saint in her life, and she was canonized within 2 years of her death because people recognized the great holiness that was there.
Elizabeth of Hungary. And for our listeners here locally, we have a parish right above the studios here at Mater Dei Radio that is in her name. So what a great thing in November. I'd encourage you to go to a mass at the Church of St. Elizabeth of Hungary. And in fact, as we talk about these saints, Father James, as we wrap up, what a great thing for us to, one, learn about them. But if there's a parish that's named after these saints, that's one way we can explore a little bit more and be part of their lives by receiving the sacraments in their churches.
Yeah, definitely. And often in those churches, there would be an image of the saint or maybe even a relic. And especially on the patronal feast of the saint, to go on that feast day on a weekday and to celebrate Mass there, be a wonderful way to honor that saint. And I think receive a special blessing through the intercession of that saint.
Absolutely. Again, Father James with us, sharing with us the lives of the saints. Father, thanks once again for spending some time with us. Would you help us close with a prayer and a blessing?
Very much so. I'm happy to do that. Heavenly Father, you raise up holy men and women throughout history. Through the intercession of St. Elizabeth of Hungary, we ask that you would bless us and help us to be like her in all things. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon all our listeners. Amen.
Amen. Elizabeth of Hungary,
pray for us.
Pray for us. Thank you so much, Father James. Have a great day.